Hey, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad to be with you. We're back from the weekend where we had been out deep into the wooded areas and where the old ritual sites were. And, you know, the weekend, All Hallows Eve and the big stuff. That's the underground world. 99.9% of the rest of the world, well, they're just up and above doing everything else, but there's an underground. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight in the Ragged Edge radio broadcast. Listen, if you're brand new to this site and this radio broadcast, we want to say thank you, and we're going to just greet you to say this. In all that we do, we know the message is the message needs to be clear, that nobody loves you like God does, nobody knows you better than God, and nobody desires you more. Now, saying that, that's just really summing up the biblical message, that God loves humanity, God is knowable, and that God is reaching out, and there's a power of God to change a life and to intervene in your life. And we pray that even that presence and power and grace of God would be demonstrated in the midst of the radio broadcast. May God stretch out his hand to save and to heal and to deliver and to help, to give hope supernaturally by the power of the Spirit of God. A lot of times I like to sign my signature on my emails and other, even in my book, Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. That, again, reveals the nature of God and the will of God when you read this. Now, may the God of hope, and that word, that biblical word hope, means a divine, assured optimism, a very assured thing. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not a hope into somehow, some way. It is a hope into kind of crystal clarity that God is going to fulfill his promises. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might overflow with hope, that same hope, by the power of the Spirit of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that today that you'll experience that. God wants that to be a part of your life, truly. So many things happening over the last number of days, and we have just, and we want to say this publicly, that we're getting to quite a few folks, even this last week, new individuals. We cannot get to everybody, and that's true in the emails alone. And so when we're out meeting individuals and working on what we call cases, it is very hard sometimes, because there's times that I'm out there in New York, in Pennsylvania, somewhere else, and thinking about others who are waiting for the help. So I want to point you to that direction today. No matter where you are, I do believe no matter what's going on, you can call upon the Lord. You can call upon the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus, and seek him and look to him and, well, see that he will work in your life even when there's seemingly no one else around you. Whether that's that God sends somebody, where God acts directly. Listen, when I got saved, when Christ came into my life, when the power of God changed me, when God delivered me out of the darkness and into light, into Christ, I was at home by myself at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was told the message, because the message has power. It has the truth of God in it, and God is in that message. And so when I listened to the message that Christ would come in and Christ would turn me completely around, that he would give me his presence and power, when I believed on that, when I believed on the Word of God, that living Savior, well, 40 years ago, came in. Now, he came in with power, and he came in with his life, and he's never left me since. So I'm going to tell you again, wherever you are, and when you feel like there's no one that can get to you and no one that can speak the right things, I'm going to just simply tell you that, you know what? There's times that people let you down. Nobody can get to you. You're waiting for someone. I'm going to tell you now, especially to those, and I'll spell it out in this broadcast, that you seek the living Savior. You seek this living God who wills to save and to heal and deliver and to help. And I'm going to tell you this, I believe you'll find that today as you turn to him. This is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Behind all of this is the website ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. When you go there, it's a lot of stuff on that site. It won't change until January, when we'll have a newer, updated site. We've been trying to do that each year, and I know this looks older, but a lot of folks are familiar with it. A couple million hits a month, and we just we're thankful that so many of you write to say thank you and do many other things. Thank you for the support. Keep us in support. Invest in the work. That's on the website. Somebody wrote me last week, you need to make your support tab bigger. Well, without all the commercials, without all the other products, that's how we do this here. And for those who can, those who feel the benefit, those who want to see this broadened even, well, there's a support tab. Thank you for that very much. Thank you. We don't always get to say thank you to everybody all the time, and we try to send a note out to everybody, and we just want everybody to know that we are grateful, and thank you so much for the kindness you bring to us. This broadcast goes worldwide and literally downloads afterwards in 150 countries. And so I want to say welcome again to our friends all over the world and wherever you are again, because of the grace of God, the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotency of God, the power of God. So may God touch you today. May God reach out to you today. Whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved, and with power and grace in his love. Got to tell you this, less than 2 weeks away, Spiritual Warfare Advanced one-day training conference. Now listen, I'm going to be gone Friday night. Well, we got some things going on then, and Saturday. But now Monday and Tuesday, I'm doing a conference. I'll tell you about it after I'm done, because it's not open to the public. So I'll tell you about it after I'm done. But on the 14th of November, which is less than 2 weeks away, we have this Spiritual Warfare Advanced. Now listen, on the website, you can go there and click, or you can go to spiritualwarfaretoday.com/page67. Now, if you do, you're going to see that we want you to register, because the seating capacity is 200. Last week, with everybody counted, it was about 125, 130 already there. And you know how it is. The last 2 weeks, everybody wants to get in. So we need you to register. They're also providing free lunch. It's free. There's no cost, but they want you to register. It tells you how to on that webpage. They will take a love offering later that day. But we want you to know that, and we know we have folks from Ohio, from the area, from all around, from other states coming in. Hotels are listed if you're coming from out of state. So welcome. This will be the last public conference that I do of this year. The very next day, the 15th, I'll be preaching at Relentless Church in Akron, Ohio, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. And 11 a.m. That's also on that site for those who want to stay afterwards. Hey, we got some news. Nephilim Mounds, if you came to that, packed out, well, the lower part of it, but we just saw it as just really packed out, and I tell you what, I think it was a great conference, and we had a lot of people we did get to meet with, and again, they closed the building. We went out on the streets and prayed with folks and talked with individuals, and I didn't feel like I gave them enough time. I really did. I don't feel like I gave them enough time out there on the streets after the closing of the building. You got to just do what, you know, that's, I mean, the truth is, we've done even deliverances, I mean, in McDonald's parking lot. Does it make any difference where you lead somebody to Christ, where you pray for somebody? Sometimes it's important to do it right then, right there. And we'll always, at all conferences and so, try to give every ounce of time. It's easy to do the presentation. And that's easy. That's a given. But in dealing, the big thing I look for at the conferences is getting with individuals. And I know this is going to happen on the 14th here. So the last public conference until 2016, and then we're going to jump into some live stream seminars. It'll save you a lot of money because they can go worldwide, and then we'll also be up as archives later on down the road. So we'll keep trying to give you the best we can. We were on with George Norrie here almost a week ago, and actually a week ago, 2 hours on, and shared, got a lot of comments back from that. We have listed there that a chapter called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, a PDF chapter. It was in the Tom Horn book, Ghostbusters. I was one of the writers, and that was one of our original extra chapters for the book, The Black Awakening. That's on the front page, shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down. If you want the entire chapter free, download it. You can do that. And very important for us to continue to mention that this this time of the year. We are in the middle of the ritual dates. And I know, again, you got to understand, I mean, I go to church. I've been a pastor for 30 years, and I went to church. I've been going to church now 40 years of my life. Wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about it. But let me tell you something. Going and then listening and looking at, you know, blogs and Christian news magazines and so forth, all of which is important. But again, these are the subjects of the deep underground. This is the subjects of that just, you got to understand, it's not just the underground and a little bit here and a little bit there. The issue is this: how broad, how wide, how global, and how all these local rituals and the victims involved and all the rest, how it ties into the end of days prophecy, and how it ties in to the summoning of the powers that will be present to move into the very days of the Antichrist and the beast system and all the rest. So if you know your prophecy well, you know in Daniel that kingdom that's to come, that global system, the most powerful, terrifying system in human history, not by human hands, in reference to the power behind it. And then in Revelation 13, the dragon gives him and that system the power. Now, that's the issue, and that's vital for understanding when I say in the last three decades or four, 500 million rituals have been done. And I've said that again and again publicly now, purposely, you know, I've been putting that out there because we've worked through the stats, the statistics, we've worked through the factors, and so I'm saying that on a global scale where this SRA, this underground, what I call the real Luciferian system, where they know they are in direct connection to the fallen cherub. They see him as the light bearer, the good guy, and so forth, and the knowledge giver, and all the rest. They revere him. They really do. And then with that comes, they know the powers, the demons, the power demons and all the rest. They understand that principle, and they understand the system. They understand that they stand in direct opposition to God, and they stand in, how do I want to say it, in some of the worst, it's not the word racism, it's the word elitism, really. They're the elite. The rest of the world is the fodder to be used, to be trampled on. And if you oppose them in any way, you got to understand that system, beyond the Nazis, beyond anything we've seen, similar to ISIS maybe, but worse, they're just going to discard everybody anywhere in every place. So we'll touch on that today, because today we're going to give you, we're going to talk about the ritual night of the weekend, one of the weird things that occurred. I was on live radio with Richard Keltner, Watchman Radio, let me tell you that about that in a few moments here. Let me give you some a few more pieces of the news anyway, and to let you know, some of the other things that are happening around that relate to this is pretty strange. Listen to this from the... this is coming from Inside Edition a couple hours ago. Family of ejected driver sacrificed a lamb to protect him from evil days before the fatal crash. Family of a Los Angeles driver who was killed when he crashed his car and was ejected 20 feet into the air into a highway freeway sign had only days before performed an animal sacrifice they hope would protect the 20-year-old from harm. His name is Richard Pananian, died on Friday when he was tossed from his small Ford after crashing into another vehicle while driving at that California Highway Patrol called a rate of speed, a high rate of speed. His body was found on an interstate sign above the wreckage. Now, I'm looking at the picture, and I look at the decimated car. So he struck, and he flew out of the car up into the air. You know, when you're going down the expressway, the highways, and you see the sign, it says, you know, Chicago, 20 miles, and whatever. He was up on one of those signs. That is, bizarre accident, a wreck. Now, here's what it says. According to his cousin... his Armenian family had taken the bizarre step of performing the traditional Maytag lamb sacrifice on October 25th, mere days before a shocking death. The man who identifies himself as this boy's cousin, Richard's cousin, revealed that the car driving loving L.A. native had closed calls before, but this time they and in their culture, when somebody escapes death, they sacrifice a goat, a lamb here in this case, a lamb. And but you know, we just got done doing the article not too long ago concerning the political candidate that sacrificed a goat in the desert and drank blood, and he acknowledged it. And you know what he did in his acknowledgement? He acknowledged not only that he did that in the desert and his left-hand path studies and so forth, but he showed his elitism, that Luciferian type, that cult side elitism, by attacking, as you know, anybody that doesn't understand the depth of that, what he did, and the incredible thing of that ritual that he did. If anybody was to say that was weird, or he literally was cutting them asunder as folks that, you know, basically you're backwoods, you know nothing, you don't understand these deep things. Well, that is the understanding of the underground. You don't understand the shedding of blood, the popping of the skin, the sacrifice of a child. Go back again to 2 Kings 21, 22, 23, Manasseh, and it all begins with a starry host, and it begins with bits and pieces. Are there gateway demons? Are there gateway occult things? In other words, you begin with some of it, and it seems like it all leads to deeper and more demons and more powers and more experiences. And in the case of Manasseh, it led to human sacrifice. And if you begin to study human sacrifice, as you back away from it, it did begin with the lesser things. The lesser things. You're willing to, you know, go to places where there's certain rituals done. And anybody that knows how underground Satanists recruit others, I'm talking about the kinds of Satanists that really believe in Satan. There's a recruiting that goes on to recruit, and Tom Wedge, the law enforcement agent, in a book called Satan Hunter, has that information there. We've seen that over the years. Matter of fact, we engaged a couple of families whose boys were you know, just little by little, they were recruited. And teenagers can be recruited with drugs and alcohol, free sex, things like that, and drawn into it. You can be invited. We had a very high-level real estate individual, high-end sales of big homes and so forth, we were talking with one day, asked what I did. We got into the story, and he says, I can't believe that. And this out of the Akron area, very high-end, known all over the newspapers. I mean, he's out there. But was invited in the context of selling big homes. We're talking, you know, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million. And so he's invited to a special meeting. Very elite meeting, kind of like Eyes Wide Shut kind of meeting. And he's invited to go to that, and he gets there, and there, you know, drinks and things are going on. Pretty soon, there's a gathering in one of the rooms in a circle, and things are going on. And all of a sudden, you know, there's this whole thing with the worship of Satan. And he said he got out of there, but he was targeted. He felt he was invited or targeted, recruited. And so you got to understand the underground on certain levels recruits, and you got to go left-hand path. Little by little by little, you get to be invited to certain things, then deeper things, then more, and then eventually, you know, the blood and guts stuff, and then Hotel California. No way out after that. Now, when it comes to the transgenerational, you know, the breeding projects for the last, you know, 60 years since the Nazis. Now, mainly you're bred into all of that, and you have to be, and you're part of that. I mean, you're just raised in it, and, you know, that's just a part of it all. So that's a little different there, but the recruiting does go on out there, and there's a left hand. I mean, if you know, we went to, let me say it this way. We know of a group that went to counter-infiltrate the Black Sun camp of the OTO. Engaged in a meeting at a place where it looked like a regular old apartment, but there was the apartment that was inside. It was a temple with every kind of Kralinian and, I mean, all kinds of things. Now, we were invited. We talked and shared, and then by this guy called Master Dan, we were invited to come to Chicago to go through a ceremony. In the ceremony in which they observe you, you're going to play one of the characters in the reading. This is deals with the old, older Kralinian group OTO, and you got to follow. You got to play the part out. And if they're reading your part, you've got to act it out. Whether that means you do some of the most despicable, immoral things. You renounce Christ, things like that. They want to watch to see if your conscience is already broken, if you're the kind of person that will go all the way. So there's really kind of a screening process before you can be brought into the underground. All around us, this secret society, underground, what I used to call the undergrounders, they're here. And I believe that's associated with 2 Thessalonians 2. When it talks about the mystery of iniquity is already at work, that's a combination. It's the source of it is the satanic, the demonic side. That's where the presence and the power and the activity and the agenda, but it's inseparably connected to a global, you know, collective of humans that have yielded and given into that that plan. And I would say this, it's not like me. I don't know all the Christians in China. I don't know the Christians in Europe. I don't know all, you know, Christians in South Africa. But I know that we're part of the same mission of Christ, and we're a part of the agenda, part of the kingdom of God. We're here. We're doing the same things, per se. I mean, if we're following under the lordship of Christ and under the power of the Spirit of God, and we're doing the mission of Jesus. Christians, let's understand tonight that when we are doing, and we understand this, we understand there's a global, you know, reach the entire world, preach the good news to every creature. We're to go global, everywhere, highways, byways, anywhere, everywhere. That's the mandate of God. If you're a believer listening, one of the most important things to do is finally just accept the mandate. You have to wait, read the Word of God, and step out and become a part of the global mission. That is the frontline mission of God in Christ, to reach the world for Christ. And the power of the Spirit of God, Mark's Gospel 16:20, demonstrates that the living Christ is in and operative and among that frontline mission to see the salvation of lives, because God wills that none should perish. God wants and desires all humanity to come to Christ. Well, we can talk about then the body of Christ worldwide and the agenda of discipleship and equipping the body. And so there's a worldwide, God-given, you can say project, mission, agenda. It's His work that's going on at this very hour. As you're listening to me, that's part of that. I'm in the mix of part of what that mission is all about. Now, here's what I think has not been understood. Listen, I believe that there's been a great understanding in the depths of biblical theologies and in the depths of mission boards and so forth, the biblical revelation of the existence of Satan, the origin of Satan, his nature, and even his methods. But I do believe that in the massive books and volumes that have been used to train the leadership that I've looked through and read thousands and thousands and thousands over the years, that there is this massive missing insight into what the Spirit of God revealed concerning the dark side. That it is a mysterium, a mystery of iniquity, a secret power of lawlessness, a satanically, demonically conceived and empowered and guided global mission. Satan has to have boots on the ground worldwide. Dark, muddy, bloody boots. He's got to have the hearts and minds politically. So we've said this over the years. You can go back to listen to anything. And we've said that the biblically revealed agenda involves the Satan, the dark side, targeting the political world to create charged political ideology and to assimilate political leaders to be a part of a shadow system. That's true on a military basis. That's true on an economic basis. So that the creation of a hidden shadow system that 2,600 years ago the book of Daniel reveals and explicitly revealed in Revelation 13. So that when the time comes for the great chaos and collapse of everything, and the only reason for that, and it's by design, by meticulous design that it'll occur. It's not a random thing. It's not Mother Earth. It's not the aliens. It's a dark side system that has been plowing away in stealth, underground, but real. The rest of the world hears pieces and parts. Those who study and go after are seeing, obviously, connecting the dots, you know, incredibly. And so many of the individuals out there that have been studying and looking and again, I would say that if you're just a student of the kind of shadow system, dark side conspiracy and all that, you're going to see all of that, but not really know how to connect ultimately the dots outside of the biblical revelation. You just can't. Because biblical revelation gives the reason why. You know what? It's all about standing against God. It's all about standing against the Messiah, against Christ. A prophecy written 3,000 years ago, Psalm chapter 2, is a prediction of Revelation 19:19. I've said this before. We're writing on it. We've done seminars on it. But it's all about the gathering eventually, and again, what's missing in every single prophetic book I've read, and in every single conference that I've been to, and every single theology book on the subject of eschatology that I've read, is the fact that Armageddon is Satan's last attempt. Well, not, I don't say it's last, but it's ultimate. I mean, it's the culmination of his very existence since the fall. That's what it is. It is a combination of the deepest and darkest of satanic preparation powers embedded in humanity to raise their weapons to kill Christ in the second coming. Now, again, I just read a note the other day where Armageddon, China, and they're all going to fight each other. And that's not true. Revelation 19:19 shows you that the world's elite, highly empowered, maybe partially hybrid, advanced weaponry in human history will be on the field in the near future in the Middle East. And as the gathering occurs, Psalm 2, the gathering, they gather together. Revelation 16, they gather together. Who's going to gather them together? We can read about it in Revelation 17. We can read about it in Revelation 19:19. The beast and his armies, they're gathered together. They come to make war on Christ. Look what it says. They're going to raise their weapons. They're there to stop the descent of Christ. Now, that is a biblical revelation. Hard for the world to understand that. I don't expect the world to. But the motivation of what is occurring today, sleep paralysis, more demonized people, the drug trade going global to be a gateway for the demonic side, just like marijuana in Ohio, gateway to the dark side spiritually. That's not being, listen, that wasn't even brought up during this entire, I don't even know what they voted today, whether it passed or not today. But again, that's just, there's going to be an overall drive to drive the gateway issue of drugs, and it's going to be huge, it's going to be global. Because the particular kinds, whether on a light level or deep level, it's all about opening individuals up to the spirits behind the pharmakia, behind the spiritually, demonically created, revealed, manufactured in the guidance of humans, drugs that open the door to the demons. And so, though we've seen over the last 30, 40, 50, even if you go back to the 30s, 80 years, 8, 9 decades of a, where it seems like everything spiritually from the dark side has progressed, gone global. Frog in the Kettle approach to the point of spiritually, I see the other side. Here's how I see the other side. It's bulging at the seams, wanting to tear through the restrainer and accomplish its mission. And it all begins with an unmistakable, no one's going to be able to say, this is, I mean, a chaos and a rip down existing political, economic, militaristic, governmental systems. I mean, down to its knees, down to dust and ashes. I watched last night San Andreas, the movie. Though there's going to be earthquakes and though there's going to be more of those in the military side, and though we see those physical things, and though those are part of the prophecies of Matthew 24 and part of what Jesus said will accelerate in the end of days, the environmental issue, and then the and when I say environmental issue, I mean these crazy 100-mile-wild storms and specifically the earthquakes that just devastate and kill many. Now, as these things continue to occur, those are the physical manifestations of the intrusion of the presence of the dark side. More and more of that presence. Think in terms of an individual being demonized, and think again. One demon, two demons, 10 demons, 100 demons, because you can have that many. You can have hundreds. Mark chapter 5, until the person is so overtaken and so absolutely used. They didn't kill him because in killing the man, then they would have nothing to live in, nothing to come through. The man may have been, primarily a doorway for more demons to come in and then to come through. So it's vital in all of this look of the end of days, and I'm saying all of this because last weekend, big, huge ritual night, and it's not even over. I mean, tonight there's going to be rituals. On the 4th, tomorrow night, there's going to be rituals. And it's all about raising of power. Now, the underground understands this. Millions of SRA victims worldwide, they all know this. They've all been raised in it. Here's what we don't know again. Quickly to say this. From 70 down to probably around 58 or 55 even would be first generation. But then you go below that to second generation, third generation, and now fourth generation. 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I'll say it again to all the human trafficking agencies worldwide, whether in Germany, whether in England, and even New Zealand, and Ireland, and Canada, and Australia, and the United States, ultimately where the old Nazi rat lines went, you're going to find in the psych wards, in the help areas, in the foster care system, you're going to find children who have been through satanic ritual abuse that involves demons and blood and sex. And it involves a mental break, personalities and programming and fearful silence and, well, so many things. And so what's happening is that's happening. And psych ward nurses and psychiatrists and counselors and around the world. The one good thing that I see is more and more people are engaging the victims, working with the victims, believing the victims, helping the victims, hearing more stories, getting to other victims, and pretty soon they know. It was interesting to me at the Nephilim Mounds conference just a couple of months ago. I felt that we had to do an invitation at the end. We had to do something for prayer. And so we did that. And 60, 70 people began to come forward as the rest of the crowd was dismissed. And as, you know, we just stood there as lines of individuals came. And I remember again, and maybe they're listening, a psychologist, a counselor, I believe, that said they were tired. They were kind of burnt out. They had been working with satanic, ritually abused individuals, MPD, DID, for almost 20 years. Now, there are those that have been out there 20, 25, and even 30 years. There's been a number that have quit along the way. They have gotten tired. They have walked away. But there are those that have been out there 30 years, a few out there a little bit beyond 30 years, that have been working since the beginning. And that's part of the good news, that there's more and more. And if you're listening, if you're doing that, if you're a helper, just may God in extraordinary power, extraordinary leading and protection in your life and refreshment of everything and filling you up, may he help you in every way to reach as many as possible. And that's what's necessary. But here's what it tells us, that in numerous nations, that since the 60s, the victims may have begun to show up. 70s, they definitely begin to show up. Which only tells us, as we backtracked, as we created the team to back up and go hunt this down since 1981, and we began to do that because the stories were wild, the stories were crazy, and we wanted to verify. And we've been very, you know what, we've not even put out half the information and or names we could have, because we're always committed to verifying the information and vetting it before we put it out. But here's what we can see on a worldwide scale. Whether there's workers in Italy and Rome and France and Germany and the Ukraine, Czech Republic, in Russia, in the Scandinavian countries, South Africa, South America, New Zealand, Ireland, Scotland, Canada, all through Australia, and other parts of the world, South America and so forth, there's no question that millions of the victims have shown up, which means the perpetrators had to be there. You can't be an SRA MPD that is satanically ritually abused with multiple personalities purposely created on the inside with programming and demonization and agenda. With the goal that you're, you know, the goal, the dark side goal, have we forgotten this, was to create godmen. They were to be super soldiers. And so in numerous nations around the world have shown up. I would estimate on a, I'm just, this is my guess, in our looking at all the stats, maybe half of the whole of the chosen ones. When I say chosen one, I mean born and bred and born into the satanic ritual abuse system. Born and bred a Luciferian, born and bred to be demonized, programmed, trained, and become a super soldier down the road, and to be used as priestesses and infiltrators and so forth. Ultimately, for the warriors, chaos makers and killers and war makers, and then the ones that will stand beyond any of the troops of any kind of nation we've ever seen. Now, when I say that, they're going to come from all those nations. And that was by design. You know, the Luciferians went to all of those nations to create this underground continued system, because there's a plan given to them. There's design, there's mission, there's the domain of Satan, there's the agenda. And if you read Revelation 12, I've been, you know, screaming about that. It's global. It really is global, to deceive the world. And out of this spiritual goal of deceiving the world and preparing it, there's this deeper underground, the undergrounders. The underground, you know, goal of developing what's necessary so that when the time comes, we're talking global collapse in a supernatural and bloody way, crippling the nations, governments, their system, their everything, to the not destroying, because there's an assimilation process. Revelation 13, or you can go back to Daniel again, and the prophecy of this final kingdom, this final dark kingdom, considered the most demonically terrifying political, economic, militaristic system, that is global. And you cannot have that without the boots on the ground, without the people that are going to be involved. And so the world as a whole, I'm saying again, 90% seen the evidence, haven't seen the information, may have seen a few movies about, you know, a conspiracy theory and the Bourne Identity and Manchurian Candidate and some of the other things that have been out, but they haven't really seen, and they don't really know other than little stories, Geraldo back in the 80s and 90s, very little. Because there, let me say again, 2 Thessalonians 2, the biblical revelation of this demands us to understand that the source and cause of this agenda needs to stay secretive, hidden, and stealth until its day. You don't know where the Antichrist is. He's out there. You don't know where the false prophet is. He's out there. You don't know all of the link up of all of the Luciferians on a global scale. No, you don't know that. They do. I believe because of their elitism, their system, the shadow government behind the government, the shadow military behind the military, the shadow elitists. And though we've been given some pictures and there's been some brave individuals to go after and try to reveal, and that's a good thing, I still see as a whole, the revelation of it is just simply convincing the world there really is a shadow government. Convincing the world there really is a system. And biblically, for Christians, with the kind of crystal clear, infallible insight we've been given biblically, prophetically, then we should be the ones we should be the point men and women that not only know the biblical revelation, because here's how it is, no matter what you study, no matter what we see in the underground, the biblical revelation is the crystal clear. This is exactly how it will be. But here's what I'm saying. In over 30 years of engaging the underground, praying that God, like in Ezekiel chapter 8, God willed to take the prophet in there and show him what was really going on. So we prayed that. Now we're saying, God, that's what we believe God did with us over the years, and is going to do even more of. And we hope that many of you as believers will just simply take up the cross, say, "Here am I, send me," and you will do that in your neighborhoods. That course we put out, Dark Powers, Dark Rituals, that has training in there for that issue. Because if you have SRAs in your city, I spoke at a funeral in Ravenna, Ohio, and talking with my friend whose father passed away, and another friend at a restaurant, Guido's, right there on the main street in Ravenna. We talked about the underground. I mentioned to them about the underground. See, we've been to Ravenna many times. We found at one of the old Nazi farms, we found a victim. By the providence of God, we engaged a victim of SRA, MPD. And as we began to engage them and the handler individuals, Covenant people found out about it. Here's two things they did. They immediately came in and moved her back to the farm. And then when we went directly to the farm to begin to engage there, they said, "Never come back here again. We're going to call the police." And they threatened legal issues. Doesn't mean we have not been back there. Doesn't mean we cannot target that area in prayer. But we're talking about probably something that started in the 50s, satanic rituals, the ideology of creating Lebensborn, the godmen of Hitler and Himmler, you know, the hybrid, the Pharaons, the chosen ones. And so that occurred, and we engaged what I believe would have been this individual was third generation. So when you're working in the psych wards in the mental hospitals and works in the psych ward system, you find any multiples there? Oh yeah. Any demonized individuals? Oh yeah. And begin to tell me an entire story of a demonized individual. And he talked about how the psychiatrists they've got a new kind of name for this. This process, and of course, drugs and Thorazine, and it literally stops us from. But when it comes to the police and the other parts, it's all about just quieting that and silencing that. And as long as you have the insurance and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't do anything to change, heal, or help. So here's the point: in your city, if there's one. If it's a little tiny city, there's going to be hundreds of others. If you're in a large city like Cleveland and New York and Los Angeles, and if you're London, if you're Berlin, if you're Rome, you're talking thousands in four generations. Which then we have to step back and ask the question: who did this? See, nobody did this in the Jeffrey Dahmer case. Jeffrey Dahmer did what he did, and of course he went to prison and whatever else, he got killed in prison. But the reports show that he was multiple. He had subpersonalities. The crime scene photos that I saw with my entire, my own eyes, brought into DevTech SWAT team training area at Geneva, Ohio back then. A satanic altar built out of human thigh bones. A power cone to contain a demon to do a ritual with, built out of human skulls. Now, nobody saw that on television. Nobody saw that in the documentaries because, again, that's all scarfed away. But here he is as part of that. And even if they acknowledge, okay, he was multiple, just like John Wayne Gacy, just like Ted Bundy. Okay, he's multiple. He's got other personalities, personalities that cut and kill and whatever else and do the sex things. Yes, he was into dark things, weird things, bones and blood and altars and satanic stuff and languages and writings. And they all discard that to the left and right because in the criminalistic forensics, there's real no grid there. There's no grid there yet. I'm going to keep harping about that. The motivation was that's why he did what he did. But here's what they never asked. You know, when law enforcement went to his father's home and went to engage the family, here's what that never came out. If Jeffrey Dahmer was multiple in the SRA sense, if he was split personality-wise and had programming even, here's the big question. Who did that? In your city, in your psych wards, coming to your church, going to the counseling centers, again, multinational, multicontinental, now 4 generations, my estimation, 40 million worldwide. Here's what I'm asking you to think through. Who did that? You can't be a chosen one, split program personalities, triggers, codes, demons, ancient languages, all that kind of stuff. You can't be one unless somebody created you from baby on up. So who's behind that? So when you begin to think in terms of your city and you say, well, yeah, in our local psych ward, they've been working with SRA, MPD they've been working with these kind of victims for 30 years. That means in your city, you have real Luciferian who have dark side powers to stay stealth that know how to do this. To select and breed and cause the breeding, to do human sacrifice, to do blood rituals, to place their people in the political, the economic, the militaristic, and in the churches in your area. To watch, to wait, sleepers, test, continue to train, wait for their day. How are you going to find them? Ezekiel chapter 8, once again, God knew explicitly what's going on there. You know, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, nothing in the deepest and the darkest of bloody underground can hide from God. Nothing. Take a read of Psalm 139 sometime. Darkness cannot hide. And so we got to say that two things. Darkness and those perpetrators can't hide. Payday someday. You're going to be betrayed utterly and end up in hell yourselves for sure. The second death, the lake of fire, that's a given. The demons you play with, even they know that, though they don't tell you. They're not about saving your life. They're about using your life and discarding you like spit. So in the culture we live in tonight, rituals tomorrow, rituals during the weekend, rituals, more comes out. In the larger cultural scene, more in the movies, more charged lyrics, more charged gaming, more charged fantasy writings, more sleep paralysis, more demonized people in psych wards, more demonized people attacking other people out there. The swelling of demonic presence in cities, driving individuals into the bloody chaos and the violence. As the rise of dark side presence enters more and more in the city, so does the chaos, so does the killing, so does the murder, so does the rape, so does the bizarre things. Behind all of that, there are, like in Ezekiel chapter 8, have you read that? Biblically speaking, have you read that? Not even a great and good prophet knew what was going on in the darkness, but God did. And God willed to take a believer, a willing believer, and then to supernaturally open the doorways and take him in to see. God warned him, you get involved in going to the underground to engage and help the victims and pray against the dark side. You're gonna have a greater spiritual warfare than you've ever had in your life. But you're also going to have greater experiences of the power of God, the deliverance of God, the healing of God, the intervention of God, and you can become such a powerful, fearless believer that is willing to go down. In the Vietnam War, they had tunnel rats. Some said they were just kind of crazy. Some said they did drugs. And, well, they tied a rope around the legs, go down in the tunnels to find out if the Vietnamese in the North were, down in those tunnels, wading through bombs and everything else. See, down in the underground of society, in the tunnels of society where you and I live, are real Luciferians. England, Scotland, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, United States of America, South Africa, islands, places, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Russia, Moscow, Scandinavian nations. It's spread the world over as the scripture has already revealed it would. And it's plotting and planning and building and becoming powered up and larger and stronger and more numerous than ever. What do you think would happen in the end of days? The devil would go away? Have we not believed the word of God completely? Have we not understood Revelation 12, Revelation 13, the dark side's largest, broadest, thickest, deepest, widest presence demonstratively in the world than ever in the collective history of fallen mankind? And God's not shaking in his boots. God, in sovereign oversight of all of this, millions getting saved around the world. People can still get saved, healed, and delivered. Chosen ones can come out. And for all of us working in the area of victims and so forth, we got to pray. We got to pray and look in the book of Acts as a field manual for the end of days. For God's extraordinary intervention. Does he know how to send an angel in and get somebody's chains broke off and bring them through the iron-barred gates? Does he know how to create an earthquake and let the Apostle Paul out? Does he know how to transport Philip from one area to another area without Philip having to walk? Do you believe God? Do you believe the supernatural hand of God in the agenda of saving and healing and delivering and helping reach the world for Christ? And wherever we go, the power of the gospel, that's why Paul said it, we can say it today, no matter what you think the world looks like, no matter how dark the world, no matter how deeply the dark side raises its ugly face into the world, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. So the cops come to Christ. And the counselors, you got to come to Christ, know the power of God. This is not a crazy world. It's a world in spiritual battle. Dark side stealth, dark side twisted, dark side deceptive, dark side seductive, dark side superior to humanity, dark side that hates God, dark side that hates and wants to use mankind. And then there's the love of God. God so loved the world, the pursuit of God, the pursuit of a human life. If you're saved, God pursued you. God wanted you. God loved you. God saved you. God embraces you. God has carved you into the palm of his hand. You're in the Father's hand. You're in the Son's hand. And no one can take you out of it. It's a battle spiritually. Every day you get up, you stand. Every day you get up. I mean, listen, if it was all done and over, we can just get up and kick back and roll in the leaves today. Beautiful day here of 75. The colors of the last remaining leaves, bright reds and oranges and yellows, and on the ground they're crunchy. And the guys were supposed to show up today, get all of our leaves out of here. They didn't show up. Technicians showed up. They're here. They're going to give us the best system we can ever consider. Hey, I want to ask you to remember Shatter the Darkness, the SIU team's number one thousands of you, as we're going to upgrade the Shatter the Darkness prayer mapping, prayer intercessors in the hugest of ways, because I really feel the pressure and really feel the call that we need to see, 10,000 people involved in the prayer agenda side of this. And that just means you're linked. I mean, you could be linked in other groups, other places, and just given overall, you're going to be praying the same way. And so we're going to link that up and do the training and put the CDs out and put the MP3s out and do the calling on that and the live streaming on that. And so we just want to train thousands more. The spiritual warfare class will not resume until the 17th of November. Why? Well, because we were out in case yesterday. We're going to be on case tomorrow. We're going to be down doing a conference next. Well, I'll be gone Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I will be live, though, Tuesday night. I will be live Monday night from that location. And I'll tell you about that location later because it's not public. And then we're going to go do the live spiritual warfare conference. And listen, if you don't have the basics down, you don't have any. You have no foundation for the rest of any concept of spiritual battle, warfare, victory. When you hear the word spiritual warfare from a believer, you should understand that means the fullness of God and the victories I need and the protection and confidences and competence that could be mine in Christ. So think about us in the prayer. Think about connecting in broader, bigger ways. I know we had some pages out and we know that we have hundreds that have involved themselves, but I think we got to move and really recruit, make it more definitive and make it very easy. As long as we have the time to join in prayer and to link up across the nation, around the world, and to see an extraordinary, listen, can God answer prayer in the midst of the darkness? You better believe this, and you better believe the word of God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's with you, and he's there, and he is giving you the Spirit of God and dwelling you. Greater is he, Megos, is God the Holy Spirit inside of you than the presence of the devil and demons on the outside. So you've got this, you've got God, if he's for you, who can be against you? So, but does it take labor? Does it take faithfulness? Does it take at times battling? Does it take having to stand and resist the devil at times? You better believe it. But with that, in reliance upon God making him our refuge, Psalm 91, well then, the manifest might, strength, and power, Ephesians 6:10, might, strength, and power will be manifest in and through you. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the website, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast tonight on this Tuesday night. Don't forget also the conference in less than 2 weeks, and the Spiritual Warfare Advanced Training on Tuesday nights moved to November the 17th, and we'll finish out 3 more weeks. The big courses, Satanic Occult Rituals, and then the healing side of it, all that comes starting in January with live stream and video and the big projects. We love you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Blessings. Good night.